The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. And on today's show, we're going to continue talking NFL draft, talking free agency, how everything is set up for the New York Giants heading into the 2021 NFL draft. And back on the show for a second time to help me do that is Mark Lillibridge, president of the Brawl Network, former NFL player, former NFL scout. Mark, thank you very, very much for coming back on the show.
Ed, I appreciate you having me on. I love talking football, and let's talk some New York Giants.
Hey, so let's do that. So let's start with this. Let's start with just your impressions of what the Giants did in free agency. And, you know, we'll get after that. We'll get into kind of where that leaves them, you know, heading into the draft, but just your impressions of what they did.
Well, I think the splash, of course, is going to get Kenny Golladay. I think that's right. That's one that the media and the fans are going to talk about. And anytime you can bring a dominant offensive weapon to your team, you know, no matter what you had to pay him, I would be fair to guess they probably overpaid a little bit. Maybe negotiate against themselves. But if you see a guy you want and he produces for you, then money's not the issue, as we've seen, you know, historically in the NFL. And so I think they know they needed a number one receiver. They know they need a guy who can stretch the field, but also win 50-50 balls. And Golladay does that. I'm a big fan of the Danny Shelton signing. And the reason I am is because I think that next to Leonard Williams, Leonard is such a good penetrator, and he's so good laterally and on the move. I think now you lock in Shelton, who can eat up two blocks, and that leaves Leonard on a lot of one-on-one situations. And so I think that's where you're going to see him. I think this will be, if he stays healthy, I think this will be Leonard Williams, a career year for Leonard Williams. You know, and he's on a new contract, which you and I talked about last time when I was fortunate enough to be on your podcast. So I think those are two moves, one on offense, one on defense, that I really liked. I think that, you know, they made some moves along the offensive line. I think getting Kyle Rudolph at tight end was a sneaky good move, because he can be the linchpin, you know, blocking tight end, where then that can let Ingram get out and do some stuff in the passing game. But I think they made some upgrades, and I think that they are continually doing that. And one of the things that I liked is that every move they made, you know, like bringing was it Breland, right? Am I wrong on that? The linebacker?
Right. Yeah, Ragland, you know what I mean? I think it was.
Bringing Reggie in. Okay, so he does adverse what Blake does, and he's more of a downhill smash mouth guy, where Blake's more of a lateral, Blake Martinez more of a lateral linebacker. So you got those guys that everybody kind of is counteractive to what the other guy does. One guy's strengths, another guy's weakness. And I think those pieces really fit well. And then, of course, going to get a Dory Jackson at the corner slot. I think that was another sneaky good move. I don't know if he ever, you know, he was hurt a lot last year, but as he can do it, he's good in the return game. and again, a former first rounder for the Tennessee Titans. I think he adds a lot of value in that back half. Not the biggest guy in the world, and not, you know, one of those guys that you're going to go one-on-one versus Kenny Golladay a lot. But I think if he could practice against him every day and compete against that, I think Adoree Jackson would be, you know, a really good slot. And then he can hold his own on the island as well.
You know, it's interesting that you brought up the Shelton signing because I didn't think much about it. I mean, he's got the right skill set. But when you think about what the Giants did, two players that they could have signed, could have kept and let go, they let Kevin Zeitler go on the offensive line. They let Dalvin Tomlinson go on the defensive line. And I think what they're going to do here, obviously on the defensive line, they signed Danny Shelton. Wouldn't surprise me if they also, you know, add a tackle, a defensive tackle in the draft. On the offensive line, they've got Shane Lemieux and Will Hernandez. Both players have question marks. They added Zach Fulton as, you know, as sort of a veteran, just sort of a safety net. And I wouldn't be surprised if they go hard in the draft fairly early at a guard. But I think what they did was they looked at two positions where historically you can fill those positions without spending a ton of money. And I like the fact that that's what they did. They used that money for other purposes, and they're filling those two spots without spending a ton of money.
I 100% agree with you. The other thing that I like about it that they did is when you're looking at this, you still got to remember Andrew Thomas had kind of a throwaway year last year. And so I think that's one of those situations where you look at this and you say, okay, hey, we have a high pick that we're expecting to have big things come out of in this next year. And so I think that's part of it as well.
You know, it's funny also that you mentioned Andrew Thomas, and I'm glad you did, because there's a lot of questions people ask about the offensive line. And I wrote the other day that it's kind of funny to me because people for a long time, Giants fans were, you know, why aren't we investing high picks in the offensive line? You know, why aren't we, you know, really putting resources into this? And the Giants did that last year. They spent first round pick on Andrew Thomas, third round pick on Matt Parrott, fifth round pick on Shane Lemieux. They went with, you know, one of their own homegrown players at center in Nick Gates. And I find it funny this year that Giants fans are panicked basically about the fact that all of the players that they might be using on the offensive line are homegrown players who maybe aren't fully proven. And it's like, people, isn't this what you asked for? Isn't this what you really wanted the Giants to do? And now you're panicked that they might actually play the players that they drafted. You know, right. I find it's a good thing. I mean, it would not surprise me at all if at 11, you know, and I guess we're getting into some draft talk here. It would not surprise me at all if at 11, if Rashawn Slater is available. I would have no objection to that pick at all, because to me, and just tell me what you think of Slater, but to me, he provides the Giants competition and cover at three positions, either guard or right tackle, if Parrott isn't the answer over there. So to me, I would love the pick of Rashawn Slater. So let's get into that a little bit. Let's talk about Slater.
Yeah, I don't think he's there at 11. I think he's gone by then. You know, it'll be interesting how these quarterbacks play out, but I think he's the number one tackle in this. I know people like Sewell out in Oregon, but I'm a big Slater fan. I think he's the number one offensive lineman in this draft, and I think he'll be gone before the Giants can get him at 11. That's how highly I think of him. So if he is there at 11, I think it's a dunk, and I think you have no choice but to take him. And again, that's, you know, you go back to your fan base, right? We love what everybody else has until they bust, and then you don't like them. And so the fact that Gettleman, you have to believe in your system, you have to believe in what you're doing. But what it comes down to is you got to protect for 4 or 5 seconds. You're going to get one of the best running backs in recent history, Saquon Barkley back. You have to have Daniel Jones. Keep him clean. He's proven he can, he can run the offense effectively from the pocket. But I think these guys just have to gel. That's part of it, is just getting in together in an offseason. We didn't have an offseason last year. They weren't together. And so these guys are learning on the fly. And then you had a lot of injuries. You know, in the backfield and at the quarterback position. So I think that's part of it as well. I think the Giants are in a division where they showed near the end of the season they can compete, but they just have, it's going to be, you know, it's wide open division. They just have to get together and work together. And I think that's part of being homegrown, is that these guys are comfortable and know each other, and they don't have to just keep plugging in pieces that they don't know. And so I think it's, again, I expect Andrew Thomas to take that next jump. I expect them to, I think they will draft along the O-line if that's in the first round or second or wherever that is. But again, I think they have a pretty solid group right now. And now you use the draft to, you know, you can't really count on the draft to have a bunch of starters right away. You're hoping you have your team. You want those guys to be ready to go by year two or year three. And so I think maybe at 11, you'd like to have that guy be an impact player. But if that's a safety, if that's a linebacker, if that's another D tackle, like you said, I think you got it right at 11. You have to take the best player available. And heck, you know, if that's a receiver or in a loaded receiver class. But if you're talking Slater's at 11, that's a dunk. You have to take him.
It's funny. I think you and I agree on this offensive line. I'm pretty bullish on where this offensive line is headed. I mean, there are question marks. I don't know what Will Hernandez is going to be. I have questions about Shane Lemieux's pass protection. But you know, Giants fans drive me nuts. They keep wanting to move Nick Gates off the center position. And I'm like, why? He played really, right, really well there the second half of the season. He's got the personality. He's got the skill set. He's got that fire that you really want from, you know, from a guy who's really the leader of your offensive line. I really like Nick Gates' upside at center, and I'm bullish on that group. I think if Slater's not there, let's stay on the 11th pick for just a second, and let's stay on the offensive line for just a second. Let's assume that Slater and Sewell are both gone. I personally don't believe there's another offensive lineman that, you know, that you can justify, considering that there might be wide receivers there. There might be, you know, Micah Parsons might be there. Edge guys might be there. I don't see another offensive lineman you can really justify taking at 11. You know, how do you feel about that?
The only other guy that I could see, and his name's going to escape me, and I don't know if you got your list in front of you right now, Ed, but the old lineman from Oklahoma State,
Tevin Jenkins.
Yes. I think he is just a tough knocker. I think he's New York tough. I think he finishes his blocks. He's got some Will Hernandez to his game, but he's more athletic than Will is. And so I just, there, that might be a guy that I could see. I think he's kind of getting some buzz. And I think a lot of people, a lot of O-line coaches around the league are really, are kind of starting to zoom in on him a little bit. So that's a guy that I just, you know, when you, the fun thing about this is you have draft picks that have certain guys, certain places, but then you have coaches that are and scouts that really kind of know some of these guys. And so there's always that one or two guys every draft, you're kind of like, okay, well, I didn't rank him that high, or I didn't know he was going to go there. I think Tevin's one of those guys where I think it's going to surprise some people. And I think he'd be there. But now the question comes back to it is this way. Is he above a Jamar Chase? Do you have him ranked higher than if, let's say, Waddle's there from Alabama, at receiver, like you brought up, Micah Parsons? Is he more of a value and more of a instant? Because you got to have an instant player or a guy that you expect to play a lot, and hopefully a long term starter at 11. You know, at least by a second year, and then you want him to be a 5 to 8 year starter. If that's Micah Parsons, or if that's someone else that's at that position, that's who you have to take there. So it just comes back to what that board is. And you have to, Gettleman has to trust his board, trust his scouts this year more than ever, because there wasn't a combine. And I think then that's where you have to get value at that pick. And so then I think that's where it comes down to. Or is that where you maybe try to trade back a little bit? If you have a bunch of guys that you have fairly ranked at different positions, maybe you have 4 or 5 guys that are there. Well, can you slide back to 14? Can you slide back to 15 and still get the value player that you want, and then pick up some depth? Because that's the one thing for the Giants is that they're not they're not so loaded right now where you're sitting there going, okay, well, this team's, you know, a really strong Super Bowl contender. They're building for the future. They have talent, don't get me wrong. But if you can add, you know, another three or four players and then have, but maybe get a second rounder for next year or even a first rounder for next year in that slot, I think you have no choice but to do that.
Yeah, I know Dave talks a lot about, you know, his history is he's never traded down in eight drafts. And Dave talks a lot about not trading back too far because you don't want to take yourself out of, you know, out of position to draft maybe the three or four guys that you would really want. And I agree with that. But I also think there are certain positions if you're targeting in this particular draft, there's really one position in particular, if the Giants really want to target it with the first round pick, where they could drop back a few spots and comfortably have a choice,
yep,
you know, of a couple of guys. And I think that position happens to be edge.
Sure.
Where if they want edge and they're like, well, okay, we really don't care if it's Ojulari or Phillips or Rousseau or Pay or Owe from Penn State. If they don't care, I think they can drop back a few spots and take whoever's there. Now, right. Well, let's talk about Quiddy for a minute. And you and I are going to disagree on Quiddy, but let me say this. I think for the Giants, there are, if you look at offensive line, if you look at offense, I think Slater's a perfect pick for the Giants if he's there at 11. I think if the Giants want edge, because of what they already have on that roster and because of what Patrick Graham wants, I think Azeez Ojulari, the kid from Georgia, is perfect for Patrick Graham. And whereas I think that Quiddy Pay is a harder fit because you're looking at a guy who's more 4-3 defensive end, more hand in the ground than a guy who can play, who has experience standing up and who could maybe drop into those short areas, you know, once in a while in zone coverage. So let's talk about the edge class a little bit.
Yeah, I think all those guys you brought up, I think are have unique talents. And I think that's the way the game has evolved a little bit. I think there's so many that, you know, where you're at is if Graham's going to stay, okay, I'm going to go with a base 3-4. The guys you're looking for are different than the guys you're drafting than if you're in a 4-3, but even in those cases, you still have to have some versatility. I mean, you still have to, with the way that guys are zone dogging and the way that guys are with the zone blitzes now, heck, your nose tackles. And I mean, you got to get some of those guys dropping into coverage even nowadays. So I think you want just pure athletes. And I think all those guys do fit that. I think you're right with Quiddy. And, you know, he does dip his shoulder really well and he can bend the edge really well. Maybe a little bit stiff in space. But those are guys, but you also probably would have said that same thing about Preston Smith in Green Bay. You would have said that same thing about Za'Darius Smith, right? I mean, a lot of these guys, they have to fit. You say, okay, well, they're too big or whatever. Well, you find ways to use them. And you know this with like a Marcus Golden or any of the players that have kind of come through with the Giants. You know, there's some guys that you have to be able to drop into coverage. You still have to be able to rush the passer. And so I think there you're going to go – always go with what Graham wants. But again, you have to say at the same point, and you guys have been through this too, unfortunately, well, if you got a new coach, he might not fit that system. So you got to get the player who's going to fit, who's just a good player and could fit a 3-4 or a 4-3. So I think you're right either way. I just think you have to go into this with you can't be scared. If a guy is a talented player, he's going to be able to adjust to whatever scheme you're in. And I think you would love to be able to say, oh, okay, I'm going to build a scheme around the 11th pick, but unfortunately you can't. You're really building the scheme right now around Leonard Williams and then let every other piece fall where it may from there.
All right, Mark, two quick things for you. One on Quiddy Pay. Does Quiddy Pay at all remind you of Justin Tuck? Let's just stay with that because I can't help it, but I see a little bit of Tuck in Quiddy Pay just because of the effort, I think. But is that at all accurate in your mind?
I could see that. I guess I haven't put that comparison together, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't know if you're comparing that's a bad thing or a good thing, but I mean, Tuck, he's got two rings, doesn't he?
Right.
You know what I mean? I'll take that. I mean, so if your comparison is Justin Tuck, I would take that all day long. So yeah, I could see that. And I think that would be, would be a fair comparison and a good comparison if it was me. Because I think that when you, no matter what at this level, you got to learn to be a pro, and you're going to have to do some things that probably you're uncomfortable with. College does some different things to you. When you get to the NFL and you're making these dollars, you know, you want to be able to hit on these guys. So you're going to do some research and you're going to see, okay, what, you know, who do they remind you of, and some comparisons. But at the end of the day, you know, Quiddy Pay's got to be his own man, and he's got to answer the bell. And if that's effort and that scheme or whatever, you know, it is to be successful, he's going to have to figure that out. But you also want to surround him with veterans that can help him and lead him down that path as well.
And I need to ask you about two other guys in that edge class. And these are guys who I look at as pure projection guys. You guys who, to be honest, I would be really, really uncomfortable taking early in the draft because I'm not sure we've seen it. Maybe if they hit, if they become what people think they can become, you know, they could be superstars. But I think there's a long way to go to get there. So I'm curious how comfortable you are or you would be taking Gregory Rousseau from Miami and Jason Owe from Penn State, you know, if you're the Giants. And I would love one of those guys in the second round, but I'm not so sure I could take one in the first round, even if I dropped down to 17 or 18.
Yeah, I know there's some – now, I know there's some debate on both these guys. I am not a Rousseau guy. I don't – there's things about his game that I'm like, okay, wow, that was awesome. But it's not a consistent the effort or what he does is a dominating player for me consistently, where I would take him at 11 or at 15 or 17 or wherever else. I think you're right. I think as a second rounder, I feel a little bit more comfortable with that because there is upside on both those guys. But again, I think it's one of those situations for me where you know, the Georgia guy, I think his upside's higher than Rousseau, in my opinion. And so, you know, if you're asking me which one I would take, that's where I'm going. But I think it would be hard for me to take either of them, you know, outside of probably 25. Where I think they're probably slated between 25 and 45 for me. And I think then you're okay with your value, because then you're trying to hit on where, you know, can we get them to project to where we think they can go, as opposed to what they're going to be. And if you're staying at 11, like I said, you need a guy that can come in and play right away, or at least give you valuable minutes, maybe not a starter, but at least that first year give you valuable minutes. But then you need them to be a starter for 5 to 8 years moving forward. And so you got to be right there.
Hey, how much more time do you have, Mark?
I got about 1 or 2 minutes.
All right. Let me just throw this. I'll throw a wrap up question at you then. So,
yep.
All right. So Mark, let's look at it this way. We've had free agency. We've got the draft coming up. If you're the New York Giants, John Mara pretty much said the other day that he feels like he's tired of losing. It's time for the Giants to start winning. If you look at where they are, what they've done, the division that they're in, would you feel comfortable or would you feel good about where this Giants team is headed at this point?
Well, I do, because I think you get so many weapons back that you didn't have last year. And so it's a weird year. Now, I know there was other issues too. Dallas lost Dak, and you know, the Eagles are going through what they're going through. You know, Washington team is in an upheaval. They're going to have a new quarterback starting. I think this league is wide open, or this division is wide open, excuse me. And I think you're going back into it with getting Barkley back. You're going to have an O-line that's going to have some more experience underneath it. You hope that Andrew Thomas can step in and do it. You have a happy Leonard Williams, who just got paid. You have a stalwart D-tackle next to him to eat up blockers. You got some really good linebackers that now, you know, Blake Martinez knows this system a year later. You have great young safeties and secondary players. You know, you got Galladay, who's your can throw it up and make Daniel Jones look good. I think they're in a prime spot. I think you have to add some pieces in this draft. I think you got to win it, you know, wherever that is, 11 or wherever, if Gettleman breaks his tradition and trades back. But I do think that they're sitting okay. But like anything, you have to be healthy and the team has to meld quickly. And I think if those two things can happen, I think they have it. You need Ingram to be more consistent with his game at tight end. I think that helps with getting Rudolph there to be able to kind of take some of the blocking role off his shoulders. But I think you need your playmakers to play well. And I think if Barkley's back healthy and then Daniel Jones is back healthy, I think this team can compete talent-wise with anybody in their division.
All right, Mark, thank you very, very much. Before I let you go, why don't you just let people know where they can find you on Twitter, where they can find your work on the Brawl Network.
Yeah, so you can always find me at Bridges Football. So just find me at Bridges Football. Love helping out guys. This is going to be a fun draft because I helped coach and talk to a lot of these guys at the College Gridiron Showcase. So there's, you know, I got some guys in the later rounds that I'm really rooting for, but this is going to be a wide open draft. I think this is going to be really critical draft. These next couple of days are really critical for a lot of players because they're in getting the physicals. The top 150 are actually getting the physicals done. And so there's going to be this is going to be a scouts draft, and we're going to see the really good teams are going to find some really good players on day three. That's where I think that that Saturday is going to be a really, really fun day, Ed, for guys like myself, because, you know, I like the value players, and I think we're going to see 4 or 5 years down the road, there's going to be a lot of really good players that we're going to find in rounds 4 through 7 come Saturday, the May 1st, 2021.
All right. Thank you, Mark, and we'll talk to you again.
God bless. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Giants fans, stay tuned here. We're going to take a quick break here for a word from our SB Nation sponsors. And when I come back, we're going to do one more segment today. We're going to play an interview that I did with Elijah Mitchell, running back from the Louisiana Ragin' Cajuns, and a player who might draw the interest of the New York Giants in the late rounds of the upcoming draft. So stay tuned for that.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome back to the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio. A chance to talk to another NFL draft prospect here today as we get closer and closer to the 2021 NFL draft. Today, I'm joined on the show by Louisiana Ragin' Cajuns running back Elijah Mitchell. Elijah, how you doing? Thank you for joining the show.
Doing good. And no problems.
I need to start with you in a little bit of a different place. You know, my website covers the Giants, and your one of your former coaches, Rob Sale, is now part of the Giants staff. He's hired as the offensive line coach. Just what can you tell me about Coach Sale?
Coach Sale, man, he's an awesome coach. He really got an O-line right at UL, and he know how to coach us. He coached them hard, but at the end of the day, it works, and he did a phenomenal job with our O-line.
Make that offensive line make your life a little bit easier?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yes, sir.
So I need to ask you, you know, I was looking at all the projections and the scouting reports and all of that kind of stuff. And most of it said, oh, Elijah Mitchell, he's not all that fast, and he'll probably run 4.5, 4.6 in, you know, in the 40. And you turn up at your pro day with a 4.32. How did you do that?
Really, it just started off when I got to MJP. Shout out to them for that. They really transformed my body into a pro. That's starting with eating right, coming to workouts every day, working hard, getting the right treatment. And pro day came around, and it all worked out for me.
And that MJP is the Michael Johnson Performance Center, correct?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Right. And so you just working out there. And I guess, what did you lose also? About 17 pounds or so?
Well, when I got to MJP, I was about 212. Mm-hmm. I was about 212 between there. So I ended up 201 after eating meal prep and just eating right. And I was 201 at pro day.
And you played at, what'd you play at last year?
At the end of the year, I was around 213, 212.
Okay. And all that training, you know, losing the weight, you know, what you learned about taking care of your body, the increase in speed, for you, how do you think that translates to making you, you know, perhaps making you a better NFL running back?
Like I say, just eating right, it makes you feel energized. It makes you want to wake up and go work out because, like, you have energy from sleeping. Just all around, just training and eating right is just, it just helps your body be stronger. And our workouts at MJP was awesome. It really challenged you, and it all worked out.
They make you give up some things you like to eat.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Oh yeah, most definitely.
All right. So I gotta ask, what's killing you that you'd really just love to have? What's killing you that you can't get your hands on?
Well, I'm over country boy, so like we cook a whole bunch of rice and gravy and wildlife and stuff. So I haven't been able to eat that a lot, but hopefully. An off season or whatever, I get to eat it. So it's going to be good.
There you go. Yes, sir. So here's an off the wall question. I doubt you've ever been asked this one since you mentioned rice and gravy and all that. One of my sons, his girlfriend happens to be Puerto Rican. And we have this debate all the time. Is rice a main course or a side dish?
Rice is a main course.
Oh, you're killing me. You're killing
like
me.
Corn or like pork and beans, that'd be like a side dish for us down here.
Oh, I always say to her, I say, but when you look at the menu, it says chicken and rice, not rice and chicken.
Yeah, that's true too. That's true too. But we say rice is the main dish down here though.
Oh, there you go. There you go. I had to ask. I had a feeling you were gonna say that. But yeah, we had that discussion the other day, and she just walked away from me.
Yeah. Oh, no.
All right. So I have to ask, you had an opportunity to participate in the Senior Bowl, right?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And how did that work out for you? How much do you think you benefited, you know, from that experience?
I learned a lot from the Senior Bowl. It was an honor to be there to get coached by NFL coaches to see how they. How that, like that certain team, how they operate. So it was good. It was different from like play calling wise, but I caught on to it. It was real good. And I was happy to be there.
And in terms of that experience, you know, going through this whole draft process because of the pandemic and all of that, it's different than it would normally have been. That really the only time that you actually got to really, you know, talk to teams, talk to scouts, talk to talent evaluators, you know, in a one-on-one kind of setting?
Yeah, that was my first time. We met with all 32 teams. So that was a blessing, and it went real well.
But you haven't throughout the rest of the process, you've done most of it through Zoom and all that. You haven't had any real, you know, person-to-person contact. That was the only chance, right?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And how much of a benefit do you think that was just in terms of being able to sell yourself to NFL teams?
It's a huge benefit just to be like at the Senior Bowl face to face with them, for them to actually get to know you like in person. That's a very good opportunity, and it benefits you a lot.
And I'm curious if you were to give a scouting report on yourself, you know, to NFL teams. Everybody puts out scouting reports and draft guides and all of that. How would the scouting report on Elijah Mitchell read if you were going to write it?
First of all, it'll say that he's very coachable. He shows effort. He's a workhorse, and he's willing to do anything it takes to help the team out, whoever picks me up. And every day I'm going to go 100% no matter what.
And, you know, one of the things that I read that I need to ask you about is you people, at least the scouting reports that I read, they kind of question a little bit of your experience catching passes. I think you caught maybe 49 balls during your career at Louisiana, which is roughly one a game, which kind of says that you weren't a main part of the pass of the passing game. And the other thing I hear is really needs to work on his pass blocking kind of stuff. I'm just curious, you know, how you feel about those criticisms when you hear them or when you read them, and how you might answer them when you get into a pro camp.
Starting off with the whole catching out the backfield, like I say, Coach Napier, he designed plays for us. So I just worry about myself and doing what I have to do for the team. So if I get the ball, cool, I'll make something happen. But if not, I just continue to do my job. And about pass protection, that's all stuff that I'm gonna prove in camp, and that's all I'm worried about.
And you know, I read one thing about you. I think from the Ohio State coach, his name is Matt Campbell, and I guess you guys were getting ready to play Iowa State, and he was asked about you, and he had some nice things to say, and he called you a gritty, hard-nosed kind of player. And I guess my question about that is, when you get praise like that, you know, from an opposing coach, from someone that has to play against you, do you take that as a compliment? I mean, how does that make you feel?
I take it as a compliment, but that's just something that I will always play like that. And I appreciate him for talking good about me. But that's just one thing I always worry about myself, is that I'm going to run the ball hard, and I'm going to do it every game and every play.
And other than the fact that that Coach Sale is there now, you know, coaching the Giants offensive line, how much do you know about the Giants at this point?
All I really know is I met with the running back coach, Coach Burns. He's pretty cool, man. He seemed like a down to earth person. And Coach Sale, like I say, I've been knowing Coach Sale, so it's going to be good if I get to go to that team.
And Coach Burns is a longtime Alabama guy, so he's, you know, I've had a chance to talk to him a couple times. Pretty soft spoken guy. Have you talked to him a little bit?
Yeah, I talked to him a little bit. Yes, sir.
Talked to him a little bit. And you know the main guy in New York, right? Saquon Barkley. How would you like to join a backfield with Saquon?
Like I say, Saquon, man, he's a GOAT, man. That dude can run the ball. He can do everything, man. It'll be an honor to play next to him if I get the opportunity to, and also just learn from him too, because he's been there, and he's a great player.
And I'm curious, do you have any expectations going into the draft as far as how early you might come off the board, how late you come off the board? I mean, or do you try to just not worry about that?
Really, I just try not to worry about that. Wherever I go, whatever round I go in, I'm going to make the most of it and just play the sport that I love.
And you, so you're really not, you're not worried about, fourth round, sixth round, whatever, just, you know, whatever happens, you'll make the most of it.
Yeah, most definitely. Like I say, I can't choose what round I go in. That's not up to me. So I just try to focus on whatever team I go to. Make the most of it, and either get a starting spot or just anything they want me to do, willing to do it.
Have you played much special teams at Louisiana?
In college, I played a kickoff return, but that's about it.
You did do some returning?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Okay, cool. Cool. Yeah, because I know I never know who's going to be returning kicks for the Giants. It seems to be a revolving door every year. So,
yeah, yes, sir.
So, all right. Hey, Elijah, I appreciate your spending a few minutes with me. Best of luck to you in the draft. And if the Giants call your name, hopefully we'll get to talk to you this summer. And hopefully that'll be in person.
Yes, sir. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
All right, Giants fans, that's our show for today. We thank you, as always, for listening. Please remember to subscribe to Big Blue View Radio on all of your favorite podcast applications. Also, check us out on all of our different platforms, our Instagram page at @big_blue_view, our YouTube channel, our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter at Big Blue View. And please join the community at BigBlueView.com so you can join the discussion with other Giants fans. Giants fans, please remember, stay safe out there, take care of each other, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.